Today's daf in Masechet Menachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, is Daf Kuf Aleph, and we're holding our Daf Kuf from the base at the beginning of the Halakha Perek. And before we begin, I just would like to review with you, if you could take out your Chumashim, you have a Chumash Vayikra handy, I'm assuming anyway, because that's where we're holding. So if you take a look at the very end of your Chumash Vayikra, the sugya is today's sugya. The end of Chumash Vayikra, right at the end of Bechukotai, goes through all of the different types of pidyon. And there we find the inyanim of Erechin and pidyon of Erechin. And we find, let's start with the beginning of the final chelek from Shishi on. So we start off with Erechin. And then we go to V'im behimah sheyakrivu mimenu korban la'Hashem, what the din is l'gavi tmura. And then, afterwards, we talk about someone who is emagdish his soda, his teachuza, or his bias, or a actual behimah tmeya, so he gives his horse, or his truck, and so on and so forth. And then all of these dinim, we talk about the specifics of pidyon. And the one that interests us today in the Mishnah is the one immediately after the beginning of the sugya of Temura, which starts with, and I'm doing this on purpose because this way you can see why the Gemara's understanding of the nature of the pasuk is so built into the nature of the parsha itself. It starts off in pasuk tet with ve'im behima asher yakrivu bimena korban lasha. So that indeed opens up with the dinim of Temura and so on. And then the next pasuk in Yud Aleph is Ve'im, and it's clearly a continuation of the opening pasuk. The first pasuk was a behema that you bring a korban l'Hashem. The second one is Ve'im kol behema t'meya shel lo yakrivu mimenu korban l'Hashem. So obviously, the use of the word behema t'meya here does not mean a horse. It means it's Temeah in the sense asher lo yakrivu mimenu korban l'Hashem. The proof of the pudding that that's the case, besides the obvious contextual clarity, is that at the end of all of the list of the things that a person could be giving to the Beis HaMikdash, it says after the various dinim that we find that has to do with your kedusha of a bayit and your kedusha of a field and the steachuza and so on, it brings beferish what would be the din of, this is all the way towards the end of Pasuk of Zayin, it brings ve'im ba behema hatimeah ufada be'arkecha. Now that is clearly, in light of the context, there is really ba behema hatimeah. It's a real behema hatimeah. So this behema is talking about the behema tmeah asher lo yakrivu mimenu, which is the contrast to the opening im behema asher yakrivu mimenu. So it's very, very clear. This is not some kind of playing games with the psukim. This is like a beautiful understanding and reading of the pasuk. So what is
it? Rabbi, isn't there a difference between the first one, which is behema tmeah? That's my topic. And here, where the pasuk Babema Atmeya should be referring to the already know one that I talked about before, in which case they must be the same.
No, because you didn't read the rest of it in between, and I wish you wouldn't interrupt like this. At least, you know, put in the time that is required to understand the context. That's the context is in Bechor, so it has to be describing the differences of animals that are shayach to Bechor or not. But here is not the place to talk about. In any event, the idea over here is that the halacha is ha'minat ha'beimah lifnei ha'kohen, ve'ha'erich ha'kohenota ben tov ben ra ke'erkecha kohen keniye. Now this is what is known as ha'amada ve'ha'aracha. The first pasuk is ve'ha'minat ha'beimah lifnei ha'kohen, from which we learn that that the animal actually has to be able to stand. And that makes a big nafkamina in terms of those things that are not able to be stood in front of the Kohen and therefore not shayach to Pidyon. And the second one is the concept of ha'arocha, in which the evaluation of the Kohen, and we learn out from all the context of all of these psukim, but how many Kohanim we need, and do they all have to be really Kohanim, and so on. That's to be discussed. But so, in terms of our Mishnah, what's very fascinating here is that the only time that we find that the Torah is giving us an option to be poda something is if it's a behema that is not suited for a carbon, which means that it has a mum, or something is wrong with it, and it cannot be brought. In that event, then you're able to be paid at it after Hamad of Harocha. But suppose it's something else. It's not a behema that can be stood up in front of the Kohen. Then the Torah is not giving us any mechanism by which to be paid at it. Now, this is only discussing a behema tmeya. Now, there are other things that could be Kadesh, but they don't belong to Hekdesh in the way that this Behemah Balas Mum belongs to Hekdesh. Why is that? Because there's a difference between the ownership of Hekdesh and the Kedusha of Hekdesh. The ownership of Hekdesh creates what we call the Kedushas Bedek HaBayit, where there is a monetary ownership of Hekdesh. That is always just in terms of money. And therefore, by definition, that is always potable. It's always redeemable, because that's the whole point. If you give your TV set to Hekdesh, they're probably not going to build it in next to the Oran Habris. They'll probably sell it and use the money for the garbage cans. So basically, obviously, if they're meant to sell it in the first place, there's no Kedushas Haguf on your TV set. If you give something that could be brought on the Mizbeach and it gets a mum, now there you've got something that was given to the Mizbeach, and now what do we do that has a mum? That has a special parsha. And that special parsha is the parsha of Hamad of Harocha. Now, what happens if it's something that is not shayach to Hamad of Harocha, and it does have Kedushas Haguf? So what would that be? Well, I mean, suppose I took the flour for my mincha and I already put it into klishares, and the klishares gave it a kedushas aguf. Or I had the lechem on the shulchan and it was Shabbos, it was already kedushas aguf. Is there any way to be put to that? Absolutely not. We don't find anywhere in the Torah that you have a way of taking off kedusha by giving money for it. Why would you think that you could do that? The element of kedusha is not monetary. And therefore, this is a big chiddush, that there's a concept of ha'arocha, and that ha'arocha is actually introduced here in the concept of erechin, and that's a whole different idea all on its own, which Bezrat Hashem will be getting into soon enough in Mesechet Erechin. But right now, if we want to take a look at what things we can be poda, it's pretty clear. Things that have kedushas aguf cannot be nifta unless they are a behema that could be he'emid ve'erich ha'koin oto. Okay, so that is the introduction to our new perek, and let us indeed begin the exciting new perek. Ha'minachot v'hanisachim shenitme'u. Let's say, we've been talking, of course, about mincha and nesachim. This is not mesechet zvachim to be dealing with animals. So you should know that menachot and nesachim, suppose they became tamei and we can't bring them on a mizbeach. What do we do with them? Are we allowed to sell them? Can we buy them back? So ad shelo kitshu b'kli, if we had not given them kedushas haguf and they were only owned by Hekdesh, then yesh lahem pidyon. Of course you can be poda them because it's purely a monetary issue. The money that is used to be poda them is used to buy the same thing that is not tamei, or a better quality, or whatever it is, the reason that you want it. But there's no kedushas haguf here, and therefore it is still defined as something that is meant for use by Hekdesh in this way. And I'll use the money to buy that equivalent, but I could certainly be poda them. However, once you already put them in a klisharitz, and they were already kodesh b'kli, there is no way to be paid to them, because now they have kedushas haguf. Now comes a fascinating list that does not seem to have a clear common denominator, which the Mishnah is assuming is not potable. And I don't know why that is. Is it because they have Kedushas HaGuf? Is it for some other reason? That is going to be the topic of our Gemara. So let's take a look, for instance, at the members of this list. First of all, Ha'ofot. Okay, Ofot and Eitzim are meant to be put on the Mizbeach. And nonetheless, they cannot have Pidyon, even if they are Tameh or whatever. Or there's nothing to do because they're not included in the whole issue of the Ha'amoda V'Harocha over here. And therefore, there's no way to be put in them. What about Livona? I don't know, last I heard, Livona is not Kadosh B'Kedushas HaGuf, unless, of course, it's put into a Kli Shares. But, I mean, why would I assume that Livona is not potable? Kli Shares themselves, and all of these things, even though they became Tamein, Elohim Pidyon for some reason. Shalonemar Pidyon Ela Bivema. The only thing you can be pode is what it said beferish in that pasuk. Kol beimat me'ah asher la'akrivu mimenu korban lasha. So now the question is, I just want to know, when the Gemara, the Mishnah opened up and it said shenitma'u, why does it have to be shenitma'u? Suppose I have something that I had given minachot v'nesachim, I set them aside, I didn't put them in a Kli Shares, I set them aside to be brought to the Mizbeach, and I now find a higher quality, and I don't want to give these. I'd rather sell these, buy them back, use the money that now took on their Kedusha, use the money to buy a better quality mincha. Why can't I do that if they were without its being tummy? Can't I change my mind? So why does it say in the opening of the Mishnah, minachot nesachim that became tummy? There should be no need for that tumah. Omar Shmuel, you're absolutely right. It didn't really mean that they became Tamei. It would be exactly the same if they were Tamei or they're not Tamei. Afilu ein tahorim niftim. Why not? After all, my taima. Kol kama delo kachi bekli. As long as they are not kodesh b'kedushas haguf, it's only a matter of money. Kedushat domin dinu. So Hegdash owns it, so Hegdash can sell it. Or I can be poda it. Those are two different modalities of exchanging value for an item. And the general rule is that Kedushat Damim can definitely be Pode. So, of course they don't need to be Tamei. But Shmuel, Hanitmu Tanan, I don't understand how you can say that. The Mishnah says, Minachot V'Nisachim Shenitma'u. I mean, doesn't that mean that if they weren't Nitma'u, that you cannot be Pode them? No. Hu Adin Da'afak Avdolo Nitmu. According to Shmuel, the Mishnah certainly doesn't mean only if they were Nitma'u. What it means is that since the next part of the Mishnah, which is talking about things that I cannot be poda, and there I cannot be poda them even if they were Nitma'u, so the Mishnah, in order to contrast the Resha to the Sefer, those things that I can be poda and those things that I cannot be poda, it used the word shenitma'u, but nitmu is certainly unimportant. I see that inside. Hu adin afagav delo nitmu. But aide de kaboy mitna seifa, that is, misha yitichu bekli, ein lahem pidyon. And that is true even if they were nitmu. So because of that, the Mishnah introduces itself with this concept of things which are tamei, and even though they are tamei, you can only be poda them if they were kodesh b'kedushas domi, and not if they were kodesh b'kedushas aguf. That's why the Mishnah sets itself into a context of nitmu, but certainly nitmu is not necessary for the resha of the Mishnah. Now, so you're telling me that this is what the Mishnah is coming to tell me? That the Chiddush is that I cannot be put as something if it was Mekudesh Bekli, even if it's Vinitmo? I mean, who the heck cares if it's Nitmo? I don't understand. I mean, Since when is Nitmu a factor in determining whether I can be poted? I don't see any chiddush in that. The Mishnah itself said that the only thing that you could be poted that has kedushas haguf is a behema which is not roy for the mizbeach and it got a mum. Why would I think? I don't understand. If somebody painted it black, so I need a Mishnah to tell me, even if somebody painted it black, you can't be put. That's crazy. So Nitmu should not be a factor at all. Says the Gemara, what does that mean? To teach me, we should teach you the Kli Eimle and Pidya. I mean, that's pshita. That's the whole point of the Mishnah, isn't it? What's the difference if they were Nitmu or not? I'll tell you why. Let's take a look at that pasuk, that beautiful pasuk that we just looked at, that defines the behema that you can be poida if it got a mum. Guess what it's called? Did it say in the pasuk a behema with a mum? No. It said ve'im kol behema temeah. Wow. Whoa. Wait a minute. So that means that you're calling the psul that prevents it from being used and allows you to be poida. You're calling it Tuma, even though it isn't Tuma. Why are you doing that? So I would have thought that's the whole point. The Torah is calling it a Behema Tumea to tell us that Tuma itself is something that is the equivalent of a Balmum. And therefore, of course I don't need a Mishnah to tell me if somebody painted it black that you can't be part of it. But I do need a Mishnah to tell me that if it's Tume, which is the case that the Pusik was talking about, that even that is not able to be poda. That's the point. So it's true. Since in our lovely posik, it's called tamei, therefore it's telling us that actual tamei is in fact kebal mum dami. And it's telling us treat it as if it's a behema and has a mum. And afagab de kodesh kedushas haguf, it doesn't matter. Just like kinafo be mum mifrik, the same way you can be poda it. If it has a mum, anything which became tame is the equivalent of having a mum, and you should be aninami liparok. Go ahead and be poda these things. Kamash malan, the lav ki hai tame karye rachmana labal mum. This is not the tuma that the Torah is giving the din to. Remember, the name. This is how I understand the Gemara. For some reason, everyone explains it differently, and I don't think that's what it means. So this is not the type of tuma that the Torah is referring to. Remember, we refer to a behema tamea. That doesn't mean that it's tame, and it means that it's off limits. That's exactly what we're talking about over here. We're not talking about a tuma that would have to do with teach us a halacha of tuma that comes from tumas mag or whatever. The mikli shores la'ashkach on the mifrik. We never find anywhere in the Torah that you can be paid as something that had kiddush zaguf, period. So, it's ridiculous to say that this word of tuma, which has all types of other implications and applications in different locations, this is not something that we can use to tell me that a tumor that has to do with tumas mag or whatever, that should be able to be put on the basis of something as flimsy as calling it this. Hey, where does it call a bal mum tame? Now we get to the braita that speaks about our lovely pasuk, the Tanya. Ve'im kol behema tameya, asher lo yakrivu mimenu korban la'Hashem. What is this pasuk referring to? Vevale mumin shenifti nakatuv medaber. It's talking about the fact that you could be paid an animal with hamad of harocha of a kohen if it has a mum. Well, so says you. I don't read it like that. Hataomer vevale mumin shenifti. Maybe it's talking about exactly what it says. It's talking about a horse, you know? Oh, no, because look later on in the same parsha of Pidyonis, and you find ve'im ba behema tmeya ufada be'erkecha. So that is the pasuk that is referring to literally the behema tmeya. Hare behema tmeya amura. So what is all this about? Ma'ani mekayim ve'im kol behema tmeya asher lo yakrivu mimenu. That is clearly talking about Bali Mumin, Shenivdina Katuv Medaber, and as we saw ourselves when we read the entire context in the beginning, it is a beautiful contrast to the Pasuk before, which says, Im bebehima asher yakrivu mimenu korban lashem. What's the din? And then it goes on to say, and if it's a behima asher lo yakrivu mimenu korban lashem, what's the din? And therefore, that is its focus. Now, Yocho Yipadu Amumover, so you might think, okay, so if it's currently unusable, so then it's also called Asher Lo Yakriv Bimenu, right? So Yocho Yipadu Amumover, so you might think, okay, currently it fell, it got a mum that is going to heal. Is that okay to be put in? No. Talmud Lomar, Asher Lo Yakriv Bimenu, you ain't ever going to be able to use this. That's what it means. It's the type of mum that is permanently unsuitable. Mi she'ena kreva l'Hashem, kolika. It's that which will never be able to bring a korban l'Hashem. Ma she'en ken yatz tazol, this case of a bamum over, today it's not kreva, but it's kreva tomorrow. That's why we use the lotion of atid lo yakrivu. You're only talking about pidyon on something that will never, ever be a korban lasha. Okay. So now we have our first approach to the Mishnah. This is Shmuel. Shmuel holds that the Temeya was only mentioned because we wanted to say that if it's a Kedushas HaGuf, then Temeya makes no difference. Now, question is, if you take a look at the last part of the Mishnah, that doesn't add up. Because, I mean, you said, Shmuel, that the only reason to tell us this is in order to contrast it with the Sefer of the Mishnah, right? So, Mosif Rav Huna Bar Manoach, let's take a look at the Sefer of the Mishnah, okay? What does it say there? Ha'ofot, Aitzim, Halavona, Kli Sharet, Shenitme'u. All of these things, even if they became Tamei, and therefore, these things, there's nothing to do. Now, your whole point was that you want to be mechalek between things that are kedushas damim and things that are kedushas haguf. I mean, in this list of things, I understand that the first one of the list, maybe the second one, bishlama ofot. Okay, ofot are the same as animals. And if you give them to the Beis HaMikdash for the Mizbeach, they don't need a Kli Shoreis. And as soon as you say, this is Kodesh, it's Kodesh. The same way that if you take an animal and you say, this is an Eila, it's Kodesh as an Eila. Okay, fine, I understand. That's a good case, all right? And there you can say, it's Kedushas HaGuf, and Velo Ne'emar, Ela Bivehima. And that's why the Mishnah would say, birds are not called behima, and therefore there's no din of hamad of haracha on birds, and because of that you can't be pona. Fine, but I don't understand. Eitzim, livona, kli sharet, they don't have kedushas haguf, so why in the world can't you be pona them? You said that's the whole point. So it must be that you cannot be pona them. Elalav, it's because that something that our Taherim bi'alma ein nivdin must be that things that are actually things like the Menachos and the Nesachim, if they would actually be Tahar, they would not be able to be Padui, even though they're only Kedushas Damim, which is why these things, even though they're Tamei, it doesn't make any difference, and you are the same as if they're Tahar. But those things that are going to be brought on the Mizbeach, like the Menachos and the Nesachim, they, if they become Tamei, then you can't call them Roy for the Mizbeach, and then you can be, actually, you can go ahead and you can be paid in that. And, therefore, the difference would be, why do we say that the Eitzim and the Levina, even if they're Tamei, are still considered to be Tahar? I'll tell you why. Makes a lot of sense. Do pieces of wood, can they really be mekabel tumah? No, they're not kelim. They're just flat pieces of wood. can Lavona, is Lavona food? Did you ever see anybody eating Lavona? No. So can it be Mekabel Tuma? No. So then why are we talking about it as being Tomei? Well, you know why. Because we learned that from that pasuk of Vehabasar, to tell me that anything which is considered to be Kodesh, and it's a chibat, therefore it has a great value to us because it's Kodesh. And the whole idea of Tuma is based on the connection that an Adam feels to that item, right? So the food is something that is part of his das, it's part of his chibur, and therefore it becomes roi lekabel tuma. So too, things that are cared for and are valuable because of chibat HaKodesh, the fact that we have such respect and value things that are kodesh, that's what gives them the same madrega as being food. Okay, but it's not as if it's really food. And therefore, we don't call them tame in the same way other things are tame. They are sort of an honorable state of tuma. Kibas HaKodesh, they are honorably tame. But that's not the same tuma that the pasuk was referring to. So Eitzim Milavona, since they're lav b'nei uchlaninu, it's only Kibat HaKodesh that causes them to be Mekabel Tuma. Because the Eitzim are not Kalim until they've been cut into the specific usable kli for the Mizbeach, which is an Amma Ba'amma, and then it has to be Kimachak in the thickness, and then it's put on the Mizbeach. But until then, it's just a simple piece of wood. So they don't become Shayach to Tuma. They're no Mizkashri, they're not Roy to be Mekabel Tuma. And in this case, therefore, they're not yet considered to be choshev, so they're not called real tamei. And levona nani, if you weren't mekadesh them in a kli shares, they don't have the chibas hakodesh either. Therefore, they're not miskasher to be tamei. So that's why a kli shares nani, kli shares, even if they are tamei, are not tamei. Why? Put them in a mikveh. Well, I mean, to say that something is disfigured because it's tamei when all you need to do is put them in the mikveh as a matter of standard, it's like saying if it's dirty, you should be part of it. Go wash it in the sink. What do you mean be part of it? Put it into the mikveh. That's the way to understand the Mishnah, as far as I see it, says Rav Huna Bar Manoah. And therefore, it's completely not the way that Shmuel is talking about. Shmuel is saying the issue is whether it's they're tumeim or not, and the issue is whether they have to do zaguf. This is not what we're talking about. Adarabba, the whole point of the Mishnah is whether they're tumeim. That's the point. So if something is tumeim, you can be put at it. If something is not tumeim, or if it's tumeim in a way that you could just remove the tuma, or if it would only be tummy because of Chibas HaKodesh, which it hasn't yet contracted, so then you can be part of it. It's exactly the opposite of Shmuel. Shmuel says the element of Tuma is not really important for the Mishnah. It's just coming to tell us a Chiddush that even if something is tummy, that doesn't give it a din of Baal Mum. Nonsense! It's exactly the opposite. The only thing that's important in the Mishnah is whether something is tummy or Shayach to Tuma. That's all. So therefore, I'm giving you a list. Those things that are not tummy and cannot be tummy, you're never going to be able to be paid of them. And the Mishnah is saying only things which are tummy are putable. And those things that are tar are not putable. That's all. Amazing. It's exactly the opposite approach. Says the Gemara, well, it's true what you're saying makes sense, but is that the only way to make sense of the Mishnah? I mean, Shmuel can explain that the point of these things is not revolving around whether they're Mekabel Tuma. It's something entirely different. Shmuel says, look, that's not the issue here. Things which are tahar, as long as they don't have Kedusha Zaguf, you can be paid to them. That's the only thing that's important. Kedusha Zaguf or non-Kedusha Zaguf. You know why those things, like the wood and the klishares and the levena, you know why those things you can't be poda? Tzikizir the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan don't want you to be poda things that may be difficult to replace. So therefore, if they're fungible items, fine. But if they're not really fungible items, because it's difficult to get these things, so because of that, the Rabbanan said, don't be part of them. Hegdash has them. Hegdash should keep them. Now, wait a minute. What do you mean? I understand. Lavona, it's not that easy to replace Lavona. We're going to go to India. Where are we going to find it? Klishores, is difficult to get Klishores. But wood? Like, what do you mean? If anything is fungible, it's wood, isn't it? So, I mean, how can you tell me that Eitzim, we have a Gezerah, don't be pot of wood, because where will we ever find its replacement? I go out to the forest and speak to Handy, and you'll be able to get your replacement right away? No, I'll tell you why. Even Eitzim Nami, because Kiv and the Omamar call Eitzim Tzibot Tolat, Pasul Legabe HaMikveh, Megami Mizbeah, any piece of wood that even you found a worm in one in part of it, the whole thing becomes pasul. And it's not roi for the Mizbeah. So it makes sense that we're going to have a rough time finding wood that's mamish kosher for the Mizbeah. And because of that, it's part of this Gezerah. It's not truly fungible. That's how Shmuel understands the Mishnah. So basically, the Mishnah is throwing in a completely different issue. And that is the question of whether Rabbanu were geyser on things has nothing to do, not with the Kedush HaGuf, Kedush HaDamim. It has to do only with the question of how convenient it will be to get use your money that you're using to be put to buy an alternative. Well, Omer of Papa, I can tell you something, man. If Shmuel would know what I know, he would never have said what he said. I'm going to tell you what I know. If Shmuel had heard this brisa that I'm going to tell you now, he wouldn't even have dreamt of saying this crazy pshat in the Mishnah. Ishmiel le Shmuel hadatanya, hamapis temimim leberek habayi. If somebody was magdish, animals that are roi to the Mizbeach, and instead of giving them to the Mizbeach, he gives them to the Berek HaBayit. So he's got this beautiful shor, and he gives it to the Berek HaBayit to use to pull wagons, you know? The din is, if you're poda those animals, even though they're only Kedushas Damim, you have to use those animals for the Mizbeach. So how can you be poda them? You can sell them to someone who needs that animal for a korban. So he says, oh, Berek HaBayit, I really want to go across the hall to the Kedushas HaGuf section and bring these behemoths to the Mizbeach. Will you sell them to me? Yes, we'll sell them to you for that purpose. Yes. Or if the owner wants to be paid to them in order to bring them as a korban, yes. But we will not let them go for a used car dealer. Absolutely not. It's only going to be shayach to the Mizbeach. Why is that? Because of a gavi klal that is kol ha-ra'uy le-mizbeach, eno yotze midei mizbeach lo'olam. Anything that is usable for the Mizbeach never gets away from the Mizbeach. Once the Mizbeach gets its hands on something, so to speak, you can't get it away from the Mizbeach. So you're going to be poda it, but it's going to end up on the Mizbeach. That's the point. So, this is that afagav de kedushas damim ninu, ein nivdim, you cannot be poda these things even though they are kedushas damim, because they are roi for the Mizbeach. Hove tahori, man, you can bring them on the Mizbeach. So what do you see from here? Something that can be brought on the Mizbeach has to be brought on the Mizbeach. There's no way for you to take off the kedusha that's going to go to the Mizbeach. So if Shmuel would have heard this, obviously, he would have said, oh, no, that's a mistake. Even if it wasn't Kadosh to be Kedushas HaGuf, he was saying, Menachas v'Nesachim, they can be Padui even if they're Tahar, and the Mishnah doesn't mean that they have to be Tamei. If he would have seen this, he would have realized, no, that's nonsense. Because over here, the point that is being made by the Braita is that anything that is usable from the Mizbeach, and certainly the Menachas, the Seilas of the Menachas, or the Yayin of the Nesachim, it's all very nice to say they only have Kedushas Damim, but they're still going to need to be brought on the Mizbeach. You can't take them away from the Mizbeach. So as long as they're Tahar, they're right for the Mizbeach. I don't know what Shmuel was saying. Shmuel made a fundamental error. And he's saying even things that are right for the Mizbeach can be taken away from the Mizbeach. It's not true. And that's why it said Tmeim. If they're Tmeim, then they can be taken away from the Mizbeach because they're not right for the Mizbeach. But if they wouldn't be Tmeim, the Mishnah would never have said you can be part of them. So Shmuel, we might as well ex Shmuel. Says Zigmar, but that's not true. Shmuel knew this braita perfectly well, Shmiele, and he did not in any way take back his opinion. Veloha darbe. He says, what are you talking about? Didn't you yourselves say, when we're talking about the Mishnah Legabi, Eitzim and Levena, that the reason that you can't be part of them is why? Because it's difficult to find replacements. It's a gezerah. Isn't that what you said? And that we don't want to allow you to be part of something where it's going to be hard for the gizbar to find something as good to use in its place. That's the point over here also. Oh, Hanami, what do you think the case is here? Somebody gives a beautiful animal without a mum. He gives it to the Bet HaKabayit. And you're telling me, well, you're not allowed to take it away from the Mizbeach. Of course you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to because it's very hard to find quality animals that have absolutely no mum. You know what we're talking about? If we're talking about a mum, and we're talking about bringing in an ophthalmologist to make sure that its eyes are perfectly good. I mean, this is not a small issue to find a behemoth that's kosher for the Mizbeach. So, Al-Khanami, kiva deshlichi mumin de paslet bevehima, da filo bedokin sheba ayin nami paslet. It's very easy to find something that's going to parcel an animal. If you're lucky enough to have a beautiful kosher animal, we don't want you going around being potted. And it's exactly the same as the things that we listed in the Mishnah. You were happy with the explanation then. You didn't say, Shmuel doesn't make any sense, because after all, why wouldn't we be able to find alternatives to Lavona Ve'etzim? You accepted it there. So just accept the same Svara over here. We don't allow you to be potent. That's the point. But it isn't really mi ikar hadin. That is basically the possibility for Shmuel to come out, in which case it would only be a takona. Now, fascinating is that the Rambam paskins that it's a deraisa. And he brings his own pasuk. Once again, we're not quite sure. Like, where does he get that from? And he says, V'ime ma. Asher yakrivu mimeno korban laHashem, which is, of course, the opening of the pasuk that we've been talking about today. The inkor bematume asher lo yakrivu mimeno korban laHashem. The contrasting pasuk was the opening of iveim beima asher yakrivu mimeno korban laHashem. The end of the pasuk says, kol asher yitain mimeno laHashem yekodesh, klomar. Kol ha-ra'uila korban, if you gave it to Hashem even for money, you have to bring it as a korban. And therefore, it's Gufa telling me in the same pasuk that was dealing with the sugya that we are being Isaac in. The pasuk that begins the sugya is there to tell you that midiraisa, you cannot be part of something that is raw, even if it was given for kedushas haguf. Okay, so basically, apparently, the Rambam understands this to be that it's only true according to Shmuel, that it's this idea of not being able to find a replacement, but that if we don't go like Shmuel in understanding the Mishnah, so then it's not true that we have to say that this is only a takana because of Shia. Okay. I don't hear you.
That you can.
Something's with your mic. Okay, this is Shmuel. Now, we saw already one alternative to the Mishnah. We explained it before. And now we find that there are other Amorayim who argue with Shmuel. And Rav Kahana says the Mishnah means exactly what it says. If they're Tmeim, they're Niftim. If they're Tahirim, they're not Niftin. And V'chein Omar Rabbi Oshaya. Rabbi Oshaya said the same thing. If they're Tmeim, they're Niftin. If they're Tahirim, they're Eino Niftin, which means that the fundamental word in the Mishnah is the Tuma, not, as Shmuel said, the difference between the Kedushas Haguf versus the Kedushas Domi. Fine. Now, I must tell you, gentlemen, something before we begin the next piece. The end of the Masechet is always an opportunity to dive deep into the elements that you've already met in the Masechet. Because of that, it's often extremely filled with all types of complex issues that are thrown in together in order to give the person who's reaching the end of the sugya an opportunity to interrelate with all types of elements that are not interrelated all the time, but that in the course of the sugya are brought together for your swimming enjoyment. So basically, the rest of the daf, which is just a way to figure out Rav Oshaya, which in the end is not all that important to us in terms necessarily of the psak, but it's a grand opportunity to go for a very refreshing pre-Olympic swim, and therefore we'll be going through a lot of different sugyas, all with the ultimate goal in mind, which is just an excuse. Really. The excuse for doing this massive pre-Olympic swim is to figure out what did Rav Oshaya really say, and will the real Rav Oshaya please stand up? But in reality, all of the different sugyas that we're going to be going through have only the vaguest and the slightest resemblance to any of the issues that Rav Oshaya was really dealing with here. So don't get frustrated. Put on your bathing suits and let us jump in. So the problem is that Rav Oshaya has a different version. Ikedi Amri. There are others say that Rav Oshaya said that actually Shmuel is right and Afila Tahorin Nivdi. And we'd love to know which Rav Oshaya is real, as we'll see in a moment. And Rabbi Elazar Omer, which is a different from Rav Oshaya and different from Rav Kahana, that menachos, all the menachos that are tmeim are niftin, tahirim are not niftin. So essentially, I agree with Rav Kahana, but there is one very important exception. And what is that? That is the asiri sa'efa of a minchas chotet. The Torah teaches beferish that the asiri sa'efa of pure solat, remember, that is going to be used by a chotet in a korban ola v'yored. So remember, in a korban ola v'yored, you have your opportunity, if you can afford it, to bring a behemah. If you can't afford that, to bring the two kinim. And if you can't afford that, that is the case where you bring a minchas chotet. Since the Torah said in that case that you can be poda the minchas chayte, it's clear that the asiris ha'efa, even if it's tahar, you can be poda. And in that, we have no choice but to agree with Shmuel that it makes no difference whether it's tame or tahar. Where did the Torah tell us this? Well, it's a beautiful diak that we've spoken about before. When we talk about the person who was Matami Migdash V'Kedoshav, let's say, right? And now he is Mechuyev to bring this Korban Olah V'Yored. So what is it? What does he bring? He brings Nekeva Min Hatzon, either a Kizba or a Seira, standard Chatas. And he brings this Lichatat, V'Chiper Alav HaKohen. Now here's the interesting word. V'Chiper Alav HaKohen Mechatato. So the Kohen is Bechapertam from his chet. Okay? From his chet. Now, what's interesting is that we have another Pasuk which talks about the person who doesn't have any money, and he instead has to bring a kinim. It says also, v'chiper alav ha-kohen me'chatasa. But when we get all the way down to Dali Dalus, where a person cannot afford not the behemah and not the ofot, it says, v'chiper alav ha-kohen al-chatato, instead of me'chatato. Now that's got to be significant. So we learn out from there an amazing halacha, beautiful halacha. And that is that in the event that somebody was originally a dal, let's say, and then he went ahead and was successful, and after he had already put this money and he bought flour and he's going to be using it for his minchas chaytei, he suddenly gets an income from the investment that he made, and now he's rich enough to afford the very best. And he can bring a kizbah, let's say. What does he do? That's why it says, al-chataso. The al-chataso, instead of me-chataso, means add more money to what you had set aside before. Al-chataso, that was your chatas until now, right? Not the sin, but what you were bringing as the chatas. Add to your chatas more money and bring what you can now afford. Well, how can you do that if it's Kadosh Kedush Zaguf? So I can do it if it's not Kadosh Kedush Zaguf, and even though it's not Tomei. Says to, if I set it aside, add. So the Torah is telling you that you can add. In the opposite case, if you had set aside a behemoth, it's saying you can be mechaper on him mechatato, which means you're allowed to use part of that money for his cheaper carbon out of his chatas. Mechataso is beautiful diak, right? So you see from here that there's definitely one case, which is the Asiris Ha'ef of Aminchas Chatei, that the Torah doesn't care if you're poted and it makes a difference if it was actually Tameh or Tahar. You're able to be put it in order to add more money to buy a better one. Okay. This is a fascinating new din that Rabbi Elazar adds. Now let's get back to the two Ika de Amres in Rav Hoshaya. Which one of those Ika de Amres is correct? Did Rav Hoshaya agree with Shmuel, or did Rav Hoshaya agree with Rav Kahana? Well, let's take a look at Rav Hoshaya's Shita elsewhere. Omar Rebbe Hoshaya. So take a look. Rebbe Hoshaya says, now this doesn't seem to have anything at all to do with what we're talking about. Shamati. So I heard that if you had a machsheves pigel in a mincha, that according to Rabbi Shimon, eno metame tumas erchlin. Wow. Okay. You're telling me this has something to do with what we're talking about? Yes, but you need to have a lot of patience. So, Rabbi Shimon holds, look, normally a mincha is considered to be food, right? It's solet. But, according to Rabbi Shimon, if you had a machsheves pigel, then it's not considered to be food. Why? Because if it's not something that is asher ye'achel, mi'okol ha'ochel asher ye'achel, what does that mean? It's not food that you can even give to a goy to eat. So it's not edible. If it's not edible, since pigel is usurbano, it's not food. And if it's not food, it's not going to be makabel tumas eichlin because it's not eichlin. And how do I know this? How do I know that Rabbi Shimon holds that? That's not. Here's my raya. Since it says, that's not really a Mishnah, but since it says in a braita, Ha'orla, ukuloi ha'keren, v'shar ha'niskal, v'egla rufa, v'tzipori mitzora, u'peter chamor, and basar b'cholav. Now note that all of these things are isurei hana'ah, right? They're all considered to be isurei hana'ah, including the egla rufa, once it was already brought down l'nachal. The Gemara learned that it becomes yiridase l'nachal etan, asers it b'hana'ah. Fine. So now all of these isurei b'hana'ah are nonetheless mekabel tumas erchlin, according to the Tanakama, because they're edible. And if they're edible, they're food. Rabbi Shimon Omer, no. Kulam ein mitamitum asochman. Absolutely not. They are not food because, as we're going to see, you can't use them to feed even a goy. But I agree, says Rabbi Shimon, that in a case of basar b'chala, where over there it used to be kosher before the basar touched the chalav and was cooked with it, so over there it is mitame tuma sokma because both the basar and the chalav used to be kosher, so it had a sha'ata kosher. Once it had a sha'ata kosher, it was defined as a foodstuff. Now the fact that it becomes usher doesn't take off the shame of the foodstuff, right? Now, what is the basis of Rabbi Shimon's psak? So, v'omar Rabasi, omar Rabbi Yochanan, my time at a Rabbi Shimon, since it says in the Torah, mikola ochel asher yeachel, so when it's talking about tuma, and it's talking about hech, lakabel tuma, it says, mikola ochel asher yeachel asher yavo alav mayim, yitma. So you see what it, I mean, isn't ochel by definition asher yeachel? Why does the Torah have to add food which is eaten? Isn't that the point of being food? Therefore, it's telling me, food that you can allow someone else, you see to it that it's eaten. And that is ochel shata yachol lahachivo lachachirim. If this is food that can be fed to a goy, then that's called food. But if you can't even feed it to a goy, that's not called food. That's what the basis is. So therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, if it's something that was never food, and it was osur ba'ana'ah, nothing to do about it. And he therefore says, Rabbi Shaya, that a mincha, if somebody was mefargo in a mincha, that is ochel, she'i ata yachol achilo la'achirim, and you have to burn it, and we'll see that Rav Hoshaya is talking about a mincha that never had a shas akosher, which I'll have to explain how is that possible, but we'll get to that. So that type of mincha, according to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, would not be mekabel tuma seichel. So far clear, nothing to do with our sugya, but it's going to prove to us what Rav Hoshaya holds in the end. So this is like a little chess game, which you're being told, listen, just hold on and you'll see that this is going to be relevant to understanding Rav Hoshaya's. It's really very, very cute the way the Gemara does this. It's going to bring up all these different sugyas. Okay. Now, the question is, the way that we just explained Rav Yochanan, then that it's not, it's ochosh iata yachola achola acherin. So if it's true, iachi, why isn't basar b'chalav also ochosh iata yachola achola acherin? And if that's the case, so why did the Braita need to tell me that the only reason that Rabbi Shimon holds that basar b'chalav is going to be b'kabel tuma seichlin is because it had a shas hakosher? That's ridiculous. Rabbi Shimon's own shita is that basar b'chalav is not asur b'anah. So what's the issue? I don't understand. Typically, the ochel shata yachol achilo l'acherim. Since, according to Rabbi Shimon, the Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Eimer Mishum Rabbi Shimon, basar b'chalav is only asur b'achila, and it's mutar b'anah. So if basar b'chalav is asur only b'achila, then that means that I am allowed to feed it to a goy, even if it's also for me to eat. And if that's the case, I should know that it's certainly considered to be food. Why does he say that? Because take a look at the use of the word kadosh. When it comes to basar b'chalav, what does it say? Ki am kadosh Hashem atal Hashem elokecha. Lo tavashel gedi b'chalev imo. So the Torah relates the indin of basar b'chalav to the fact of your kedush of an am. But it also says, v'anshe kodesh tiyunli. Another thing that has to do with your being kodesh is basar b'sada trefa lo tochelu. Now, isn't it true that basar b'sada trefa is certainly not osur b'anah because it says to feed it to your dog? Says beferish in that pasuk, so if you can use it as dog food, it's obviously alone. Are you interested in any dog food? Well, that's the question. I'm sure that you got a dog that'd be willing to eat up a horse, and since it's bigger than a horse. So, therefore, it would be the same if it's Basar B'Sadr. If it's Basar B'Sadr Dreifa, which is certainly Mutar B'Ana, and that's only Osir because you're Anshei Kedesh, then that means the fact that you're Nam Kedesh is only Osir B'Achila, Mutar B'Ana. Afkan with Basar B'Cholovitz, Osir B'Achila, Mutar B'Ana. So then that should be enough of a reason for Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai to say that Basar B'Cholov is certainly going to be Mekabel Tumas Ochlin. Why did Rabbi Yochanan say it had a Shasa Kosher? What's up to a Shasa Kosher? No. Chodav Ha'ot Ka'amar, that mentioning of Shasa Kosher, it was just in the sense of not only that, but this. Besides the fact that Rabbi Shimon L'Shitasai, he holds that Basar B'Cholov is Ochel Shata Yochol La'achilo La'acherim, and because that's his own idiosyncratic Shita. But look, I want to expand on that. The truth is that even for the Yisrael himself, if you don't agree with me, it was still L'Didei Nami Hayta Lo Shata Kosher. Even for the Yisrael, it had a Shasa Kosher. You don't need to come on to my Shita. Okay. Now, Rav Hoshaya. So Rav Hoshaya had said that a mincha, which is pigol, is not going to be mekabel tumas eichlin, according to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, right? So we ask on Rav Hoshaya, gufa, from the braita that says, medve, Rabbi Shimon omer, yesh notar shu metamei tumas eichlin, v'yesh notar she'eino metamei tumas eichlin. Okay, so here we have also Asur b'hana'a meat, which is notar. And the question is, will it be mekabel tumas eichlin since it's edible or not? Says Rabbi Shimon, it depends. Ketzad, if it became posobelina before zrika, then it was never a eichlin, it never had a shasa kosher, then it's not metami tumas eichlin. But if it's li'achar zrika, then it was originally kosher, and then it became tame, and then it became noser only an hour later, when it was too late to eat it. So then it's metami tumas eichlin. Now, when it comes to pigol, the pigol that we're talking about, bein bekotche kotchim, bein bekotchim kalim, that will never be mitame tumas eichlin, because the only way to make it pigol is if you were befagel on it before the basar became kosher l'achila, because it would be already pigol by the time you did the zrikas adam, right? Now, what about if you were mefagel a mincha? Fagel a mincha? The mincha was certainly roi to eat before you turned it into a mincha. So since, according to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, a mincha had a shasa kosher, that would mean that it would be mekabel tumas eichlin, even though it was pigel. Ha ha! Rav Hoshaya, you're in big trouble. You said that according to the sheet of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, a pigel mincha is not going to be metame tumas eichlin. How do you explain this? Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Says Rav Hoshaya, no problemo, lo kasha. There is a case of a mincha that does not have a shasa kosher. Yes, the Braita is talking about a mincha that had a shasa kosher, which of course would be 99% of the menachas. They all have a shasa kosher. But I was talking about the 1% of cases where the mincha had no shasa kosher. Khan, I was talking about a case of lo haitala sha'at akosher. Now, at last, we get to the crux of the matter that would explain Rav Hoshaya's shita b'nogeya our sugya about whether something is potable the tuma or not. Okay, you got to hear how the last pieces of this puzzle come together. And it turns out it was the butler, and it was in the library, because here's what happens. Let's try to figure out what in the world Rav Hoshaya is talking about. Where would we find a case of a mincha that never had a shata kosher? Because that's what he's talking about. Where is that case of a mincha? And if we look at that, then we're going to figure out how we... It's really a riot that we do this, I'm telling you. So what would be the case where a mincha wouldn't have a shas hakosh? So the only way that you could do that is if you were magdish the actual tvua for this mincha while it was still attached to the ground. So at that point, it's not considered to be oichlin. You can't be mekabel tumas oichlin when it's in the ground. It had to have been already harvested and exposed to water, the whole deal. So therefore, if I made it kodesh when it was mechuber to the karka, then it never had a shas hakosher. But who cares? I should be able to be poda it. Now you see how we're getting closer and closer. So if I would be able to be poda it while it's still in the ground, then it should be roi to have a shas hakosher, right? So why would I not be able to be poda it right now? Now we're getting closer to our case. Well, that depends what Reb Hoshaya holds. If what Reb Hoshaya said, that only tmeim are niftin, but taharin are not niftin, this works out very neatly. If he holds like not like Shmuel, right, and he holds like Rav Kahana, so then everything adds up. Because if I made it kodesh while it's still in the ground, I can't be poda it because it's tar, and only something tome is able to be podre. So then Rav Hoshaya would be consistent. So then Shapir. But if Rav Hoshaya is actually was quoted correctly by the other Lashon that said even if it's tar, it can be nifted, in which he agrees with Rav Kahana, then it doesn't make sense, because then we ought to be able to be paid to it, and therefore it ought to be makabel tuma, even according to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who holds that if it's not edible, it's not makabel tuma, but since over here it's theoretically edible, so therefore it's the equivalent of having a shas hakosher, right? So that proves that Rav Hoshaya actually must argue on Shmuel, and if something is tar, you can't be poda. Very neat. Ah, but we're not finished. Oh, no, we're not finished. Because says, well, you can't prove anything from there. Currently, is it padui? No. So since when does the potential of padui equal the fact of padui? Hashta mialo borik. You didn't poda it. It's kodesh right now. And the fact that you could have been poda, that doesn't make it a food, doesn't it? Does it? So therefore, maybe a mincha that never had a shas hakosher works even with the Ikari Amri in Rav Hoshaya that holds that you can be paid to something that's tar. Ah, wrong. Really? Yes. But it's wrong because of something else that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai holds, which would make Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai inconsistent. If Rav Hoshaya was basing his entire pshat on this approach of Rav Shimon bar Yochai, come on, guys, this is really crazy. It's just amazing, right? Okay, so we think we've got it all tied up, but we don't. Because Kilandi boy particle, if you wanted to, you could be poda it. But we know that according to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, that kola omed lipadot kepodoi damin. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai holds that if anything is potable, it's already considered to be the equivalent of podui. And therefore, in this case, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai would have had to agree that it had a shas hakosher, and Rabbi Shaya, who was paskening like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, would have had to agree that in this case, even according to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, the mincha that was pigel would still be a case in which it was podui and had a shas hakosher. So why does he say it doesn't have a shas hakosher? Must be because you can't be podui since it is tahor. Ha! And where did Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai ever say this gabi klal that kol ha'oimed lipadot, roi lipadot, is considered to be as if it's kepodui dami? Ah, that's from the sugi of Parat Duma. So, remember, we spoke actually about this case before. The Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Amer, Apora Aduma is metame tumas oichlin. Whoa, how is that? Because it had a shas hakosher. It was originally, before it was burned as a Apora Aduma, it was food. How is it food? I mean, it wasn't edible. Amar Reish Lakish, you know why he says it was food? Because Rabbi Shimon used to say, Omer Haya Rabbi Shimon, that a pora haduma that was shechted, and now it's food, and we're about to burn it, that you can be poda it. If you find a better pora haduma, you can be poda it even at the last minute, after it's already food. But you weren't poda it. Apparently makes no difference whether you were poda it or you weren't poda it. You could have been poda it, and that gave it a shasa kosher, and therefore it's mekabel tumas ochlin. Brilliant. So since Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai holds that, then Rav Hoshaya must have held that kol haroi liftoitz, oimed liftoitz is kepodoi, right? And therefore, we do have a good proof that he actually argues on Shmuel, and he holds if it's not tame, you can't be poda it, and therefore never had a shasa kosher. If you aren't following all the details, you should go over it again and follow the details, because this is just a lovely game. It really is. Every part interrelates with every other. This is, you know, this is Bobby Fischer, man. So it's definitely kedai to follow the details here. So since Rabbi Shimon must have held that poras niftet al gabe ma'arachta, so therefore, he holds that it's the equivalent of podui, even though it wasn't podui. And if that's true, he would say the same thing about a mincha that became pigol. It did have a chance to be podui, and that was if it was connected to the ground. But not if you hold that you cannot be put as something that is tar, then it would make sense. Ha. Huh. Sorry, good try. Hochi hashta. It's not comparable, because in the case of the para, you didn't look at the words properly. What was the Gabi rule? The Gabi rule was kol ha'omeid lifdot, not kol ha'ro'ui lifdot, but kol ha'omeid lifdot. And it's a big difference. Kol ha'omeid lifdot is that you've got your mind set on being poda it if you can. Why would you have your mind set on being poda the mincha that you already selected at the time? A pora aduma is extremely rare. To find the perfect pora aduma is a chance of a lifetime. Now, if you found one pora aduma and you're now processing that pora aduma, you've got your cell phone open, you've got dealers all over the world, and they're saying, okay, look, we're going to have to burn this pora aduma. Is there an opportunity for a better pora aduma? Anybody? Hello, Thailand. Hello. Hello, Vietnam. Anybody have a pora aduma handy? This is your last chance. Okay, so you're waiting to hear whether there might still be another pora aduma. So bishlama pora, that is omed liftos. Yes, it's omedet lipadot, because imatzacher nahimena. If you could still get a better pora aduma, remember in all of history, there's only a total of 10 pora adumas. You don't want this special pora aduma that is being brought and is going to be known by your name forever. This pora aduma shouldn't be the most beautiful. You're waiting till the last possible moment. But menachas? what's the mitzvah to be put at the mincha? Therefore, even if kol ha'omeid liftos kepodui, that wouldn't mean kol ha'roi liftos is kepodui, and therefore there is no basis for its being considered as if it was already podui. So they were not considered to have even a sha'at akosher, according to Rabbi Shimon. Wow. Okay, but we are assuming that if there was a way that you were able to be matir something, that is considered to be a shas hakosher if it's a mitzvah to do that. If it's omeid, therefore, to be mekayim, that mitzvah. Ah, man, that creates a problem even in Rabbi Shimon's own shitas. Because, look, we had in the case of the Braita where the lina took place before Zrika, and that was the case that he said that if it was lan before Zrika, that it's not going to be mekabel tumas oichlin, right? Because it never had a shasa kosher. What do you mean it never had a shasa kosher? Wasn't it a mitzvah to do the Zrika? Wasn't it Emet to do the Zrika? And that was a Chiev to do the Zrika? And you said that according to Rabbi Shimon Menachem El, beep. And according to Rabbi Shimon, if it's a mitzvah to do it and it's Emet to be done, that's what you're right here on the Mizbeach. You're ready and willing and mitzvah to do the Zrika. So then according to Rabbi Shimon's own Shita, it should be the equivalent of being Roy at that moment to have a Shasa Kosher. And if you wanted to, you could have. Iboy Zorak, and nonetheless, Rabbi Shimon said in that Braita, Eino metame tuma zorklin, why is this not considered to be a Shasa Kosher? Well, that case has got to be talking about. There wasn't enough time left in the day to be able to be Zorak. It takes a minute. And the clock was ticking. And just as he's picking this up to do the Zrika, boom, that's the end of the day. And he never had a chance to do that Zrika. That's what comes of caught him wearing Apple Watches. And so that's why it would not be considered to have a Shasa Kosher. Ah, but then what are you saying? That if it would have had enough time, then it would have actually been considered to be a Shas HaKosher, and it would have been Metame Tumas Ochlin. Is that what you're claiming? It would be Metame Tumas Ochlin. So then how do you explain the fact that Rabbi Shimon was only Mechalek between, in case if it was after Zrika, then it would be Metame, but it was before Zrika, it wouldn't be Metame. You don't have to talk about that. You can talk about the difference between your Apple Watch. You don't have to talk about the difference between doing Zrika. All you needed to say was, in the same case, that you didn't run out of time. So if you ran out of time, then it never had a Shasa Kosher. But if you didn't run out of time and you had another second, then it would be Metame Tumasa. Isn't that a much nicer Kiddush? Rather than to say before Zrika or after Zrika. Aval haita l'ashel b'yom Metame Tumasa Ochlin. So apparently we do not properly understand Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Shita here. No. That's what he's saying. He's saying that if the Lina took place before it was Shayech to do Zrika, that's what he's saying, that then it's not Metame Tumasa Ochlin, meaning you didn't have time. If it was Li'achar, that it could have had a Zrika. It doesn't mean it literally had. It meant could have had. Could have had the Zrika or not could have had the Zrika. That's the case. Then it would be Metame Tumas Ochlin. Marvelous. So far, so good. Now, do you think we finished? No way, Jose. But I know that we're over time. Come on. I mean, it was irresistible, right? There's no way to stop in the middle of this. I mean, that would be crazy. I mean, Richie wouldn't be able to sit down for days. Oh, he's not here. All right, Kol Tov, everyone. An amazing, beautiful, exciting swim this morning. Getting you all ready for the Olympics, which is that Pechina Lossid Lava. Whew, that's a tough one. Okay. Kol Tov.